This podcast series has been made possible through an exclusive sponsorship from SA's number one nano influencer platform, The Salt. Most brands have a communication line to their existing customers, but not a way to get them to have additional positive brand conversations. The Salt solves the problem by identifying brand fans and getting them to talk more about their positive brand experiences. The Salt have a database of over 140,000 registered brand fans and in-depth information on each to perfectly match your brand to the right influencers. Reach out to them now and see what they can do for you.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I've spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of.
Hey Gordon, another week, another podcast. How are you doing?
All good, yeah. I really enjoyed last week's podcast with Jeremy Sampson, the brand father and the top 50 most valuable brands. And of course, today you're going to be introducing our colleague here, but we're going to be talking about one of the biggest and fastest growing brands in the world. It really is a fascinating case study in and of itself. So really looking forward to today. And let's strange. Once again, here we are, once again in lockdown. So if the sound isn't what it is, if we had our Luddites annual conference last week, but hopefully by this week we've improved a bit.
Well, we've pushed the record button and I've got my hands off the keyboard. So in theory, Gordon, everything should go okay. Gordon, Greg Bailey, Greg, a big welcome from one of the companies in the group that actually sponsors us, Webfluential, Head of Growth. Greg, to talk TikTok. Thanks very much for your time and welcome.
Thanks so much, gents. Looking forward to our conversation today. A long time coming.
Yeah, and as Gordon said, you know, I mean, obviously it's a phenomenon. You know, I certainly am not a TikToker. I can't speak for Gordon. But certainly, you know, if you could take us through that journey, you know, just what it's all about. I mean, we know it's a social media phenomenon. We know it's seen exponential growth. It's just become part of the main sort of zeitgeist of society at the moment. But let's just take a step back. Let's just talk a little bit about the short history and where it is now globally as well as in South Africa.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, guys. When we look at this platform, I think obviously if we go back to 2020, the world kind of moved into a lockdown and people were looking for a welcome form of entertainment. Now, if you consider TikTok, their mission statement is to inspire creativity and bring joy. And I think to a large degree, that's really what they deliver out on. They kind of position themselves, interestingly enough, speaking to the guys, they position themselves not so much as a social media platform, but more so social entertainment platform. So it's all around short form video content. And again, what we're seeing is this massive array of content kind of being delivered out across multiple categories. So initially, early adopters to this platform, no doubt, were your kind of Gen Zs, your 13 to 24-year-old, and a lot of the kind of content was focused around dance and kind of fashion. But what we've seen is obviously this expand out across all categories. And through that, they've seen this incredible growth. I think as it stands now, globally sitting at about 950 million users. I'm almost certain probably finishing off kind of H2 or H1, should I say, halfway through the year, we'll probably get new numbers and where they would exceed and go past that billion mark, which is pretty significant for a platform if you consider only having been around for about 3 years now. If you look at Instagram, they're sitting at about 1.7 or 1.8 billion users across the globe, but a platform that's been around for almost 10 years.
Yeah, and Greg, that's a really great synopsis. Doc, you will have noticed that Greg didn't mention baby boomers when he talked about the early adopters. I made a bad attempt this week to engage with TikTok, and I was overcome by a series of, a bout of sort of mild nausea. I couldn't differentiate if it was between my COVID-19 shot or TikTok. So, but that sounds like a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing. You know, if you're a YFM radio station and I like what you're playing, then you've got a problem with your positioning. So I think if there is, you know, that's one thing about TikTok. It's clearly positioned. You know what you're getting when you go in there. And there are a lot of people who like it. I mean, I was amazed to look at the Walk Report on shoppable media. And globally, if you look at the number of people, online users, who are watching live stream influencers, 45% of online people or users are watching live streaming from influencers. That's in India, 29% in China, 17% in the US. By the time you get to the UK, it's 8%, but you know they kind of slow adopters anyway for most people. But, so there it is, Greg. I'm just going to let you, Doc, because I know he's a real digital buff, and just explain the whole thing to me, and then you're going to tell me why I need to take it seriously.
Look, there's a couple of points you make there. I think I'm going to start off by, obviously, like we said, early adopters were your Gen Zs, 13 to 24. Globally and locally, what we've seen, which is interesting, the biggest growing audience segment actually sits in millennials, so age 25 plus. Collectively, that group actually makes up 67% of the total TikTok population across the globe. So we've seen this migration and we've seen this growth within older audiences. You touched on TikTok Live. You 100%. And it kind of lends itself back to, we talk about, there's obviously a lot of discussion points around social commerce and obviously users kind of this discovery type commerce. So obviously leaning into these social platforms to kind of find brands, discover brands, and then obviously check out. So what they've done incredibly well is that they've created an ecosystem, which is essentially what they call community commerce, which is the connection between brands, the users on the platform, and essentially creators. And what's incredible about this is how we actually see these creators being pulled in, exactly like you said, and driving up live shopping, which is incredible. I think a lot of that influence has come from their sister company in China. This is how the Chinese shop ultimately, and a lot of those learnings are kind of bringing brought across into the Western world. And I think that's one of the big differentiators. If we look at TikTok and this community commerce or this kind of creator commerce, they leaps and bounds ahead of any of their competitors when you compare them to the likes of Facebook and Instagram. So definitely something, and it's a trend going forward in the next kind of 2 to 3 years. Expect to see a whole lot more happening in your feed and then direct purchase, so frictionless shopping.
Oh, but I think that is a point which really surprised me. Again, looking at that shoppability report, in my mind, somehow I had, and it would seem erroneously, constructed a perspective that TikTok was all about just delivering vast audiences, but it's quite clear that it's a lot more than that. And globally, if we look at this, you know, that TikTok's right up there. There are more people, using TikTok for campaigns as a percentage of influencer marketers than Facebook or YouTube, which really is quite phenomenal. Instagram still is the big hitter, as you point out, but that's also a measure of longevity. So, yeah, I really had to sort of swallow my own words and going back and realizing the shoppability component of the whole thing, not just a big platform for audience delivery, which is where I think I got it wrong. Doc, how are you with your TikToking? I haven't seen you on TikTok, which alarms me.
Gordon, just talking of that and back to Greg's earlier point around segments and, you know, 13 to 24 and millennials, I see there's a new segment, maybe new for me, silver TikTokers, Gordon, that's for us. It says over 55. So I just scrape in, which is great. So Greg, I've got to get myself a silver a TikToker. Gordon, you can be a platinum TikToker, and we'll get ready to rock and roll.
I think for the platinums, all you got to do is get your conventional TikTok and put it on slow mo. I think that would probably just about do it.
Now, Greg, just talk a little bit about segments and markets, and as you say, you know, as the platform in its short space has evolved, I see now, and again, sorry to all the new techno guys out there, I was watching on television, on linear TV, I was watching the Euros. Okay, so sorry, I do apologize up front, I'm going to asterisk that. And I was watching the Euros, and quite interestingly, TikTok's a major sponsor of the Euros, you know, with all its soccer and all the rest of it, with a byline where all fans play. I mean, what's your take on that? Is that a traditional market, or is that purposefully where they're taking the brand into that sports space now?
I think that's twofold, actually, if you consider it. Doug, yeah, I think first and foremost, I think that there's a massive opportunity to obviously jump onto a sports event like the Euro, have a broad reach across multiple audiences across the globe, not only in Europe, but across Africa, the Far East, and then obviously the Americas. And then I think further to that, what they've kind of gone on to say or suggest that football culture on the platform in itself has obviously had a massive rise or explosion, should I say. You know, everything on this platform is kind of created around trends and virality. If you consider that, they suggested that there's about 70 billion video views on the football hashtag in itself, just showing the amount of content that's obviously consumed and the amount of content that's created around football in itself. And then also what they've done really cleverly is they've lent themselves to the live streaming. So collaborated with certain teams, the England team, for example, the Dutch team, and then musicians like Ed Sheeran, who had a concert just a week ago at his home football club. It was the first time he was performing in 2 years, and he did it all through a TikTok live event, which is just simply incredible. So I think they're breaking ground here. I think they're super disruptive. They're innovative. And yeah, I'm sure they're going to capitalize off the back of it.
And just to get a little bit sort of functional again, and a couple of key points here. So in terms of ad formats, what are the kind of creative interventions that one can use? And you know, from a media perspective as well, what's the best sort of point of entry? How do I put my toe in the TikTok water, so to speak?
Sure. So I think first and foremost, we've got to understand how critical or the critical kind of pivotal role that creators play in this platform. So first and foremost, there wouldn't be a platform without the creators. So content is king. What we've seen is kind of 9 out of 10 users trust UGC type content over brand communication, and then 9 out of 10 value authenticity when deciding on brands and the like. So first and foremost, for brands entering into the space, what I think it's pretty critical for them to firstly align to certain creators, obviously to create content that delivers out on their kind of brand messaging, but ultimately with the key objectives in mind being either brand awareness, driving in-store sales, lead generation, whatever the case may be. I think it's critical to rely on creators to bring the brand into their space in the most authentic and relevant kind of way. From an ad format point of view, it's pretty similar to what we see on Facebook and Instagram. Obviously, things to consider and what makes TikTok so unique is that essentially it's designed for full attention. So it's undisrupted in the sense that it's full screen, full real estate, essentially designed for sound on. So the use of sound or music is critical and a big differentiator inside this platform. Obviously, the use of sound in itself draws out an emotive play. So yeah, I mean, we've seen some really great success on brands utilizing creators to obviously take their messaging forward, both from an organic and from a paid perspective. And you'll be quite surprised. I mean, it ranges from everything from your kind of CPG products or your FMCG products, your beauty through to fashion. But then some of the hardcore performance type verticals, guys like with inside the e-commerce play and even insurance in itself, driving lead generation and insurance policies. Who would have thought?
Hashtag no filter. That's how this podcast is delivering real down-to-earth stories told by real people. For an influencer campaign that takes brand conversation to everyday real-life situations, go check out thesalt.co.za. They are the undisputed experts in real influencer marketing.
Greg, just talking a little bit about that. I mean, would you mind going into just a little bit of detail, one or two cases globally that have really captured your imagination? And then locally, you know, you're speaking about quite a wide array, you know, just in reading up on the topic, you know, I looked at originally the luxury brands, Calvin Klein, Ralph Lauren, D&G, not the Doc and the Guru, Gordon, before you get excited, Dolce & Gabbana, Burberry, Prada, those are the guys that got on initially. But I mean, let's just talk about one or two kind of current cases globally and one or two cases locally.
Cool. I'll stay inside those two verticals, particularly because they are performance driven. Pretty much everything works on a ROAS metric. So every rand spent, they're expecting X amount in return. So from an insurance point of view, incredible to see if you look at some of the leading American type insurance brands, Insured Nation, Lemonade, they've had massive success on the platform. Again, tapping into creators, having very fun, authentic, raw kind of content, driving lead generation. Locally, we've done that with some of the leading kind of insurance brands. It's very early on, obviously, like I said. But what we've already seen is like an improvement, almost like a 2x improvement in terms of cost per lead. And then even tracking those leads into actual conversions, into policies actually signed and converted. We've seen a massive kind of conversion rate, which is incredible. When we look at e-commerce players, obviously, the big boys like eBay, ASOS, Zalora, all of them are obviously playing inside the platform. ASOS is obviously a fashion retailer. From a local standpoint, yeah, we've also been working with some of the big e-commerce brands. You can obviously kind of, it's the kind of two or three biggest guys within the South African market. And already what we're seeing is better buying efficiencies in terms of driving app installs or registrations. And then just in terms of actual revenue being generated and driving loyalty, we've seen a massive improvement, almost like 3x improvement compared to other channels. So definitely a channel to be reckoned with. And in some cases, it's outperforming your more traditional social channels, being Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about some of the upmarket brands like Dolce & Gabbana, but I think one of the most successful case studies in the US was in December last year with Walmart, where they partnered with TikTok on a holiday shop along in December, sort of Christmas holiday season over there, I guess you'd call it, live stream, where TikTok creators, including the leading influencer Michael Lee, showcased favorite Walmart fashion brands. So, I mean, it clearly has an application way across the spectrum. And I was just trying, while you were talking there, Greg, to visualize a point of difference in my own mind. So I think, being trapped, as you can imagine, at my age in this sort of linear viewing kind of thing, like the doctor degree, I'm sort of looking at content and then where I place my ad. So thinking of it as an onion, I'm kind of taking an outwards, inwards approach. But you've got to reverse that, haven't you? I mean, you've got to start on the inside and radiate your communication outwards. It's almost the reverse image of a traditional linear media interplay.
100%. So what we've seen is obviously brands wanting to enter onto the platform. I think what's critical to the success is obviously the creative strategy. And in many cases, working even with some of the leading and the top kind of creator agencies or creative agencies within South African market and even globally, we're actually not able to crack it. The guys that can crack it are the creators. So in many cases, what we're doing is taking that kind of client brief and then obviously driving out that objective, sitting with the creator guys and brainstorming, kind of workshopping and allowing creative flow, letting them come back And in many times when you kind of see the content, you don't believe it would work. And you're like, what the hell is this? But yet it delivers out incredible results at the end of the day. So definitely relying on those creators to drive out that messaging and kind of take your brand forward. I think that's critical.
I think it's...
I'm just going back on... Sorry, if I just go back on another quick case study, I think a brilliant one, you're talking about one in the US, but just one in the UK, which is for an ice cream brand called Little Moon. Interestingly enough, again, did it when the UK was going through lockdown in December, obviously winter. So from a seasonality point of view, it's not a great time of year for an ice cream brand. They paired up with TikTok, ran a branded hashtag challenges, branded hashtag challenge, should I say, collaborated with key creators. Interestingly enough, they actually sold out across the UK. Sales increased at 700% at Tesco, which is just simply insane if you consider the power of this platform.
Well, it's amazing, Greg. I mean, and again, you know, one of the universal truths, I guess, with any type of marketing, you're looking at a new platform now, and it's creator-led and deep insights into particular verticals and narrow verticals, is to trust the market informers. In other words, you know, marketing is often not for the marketing department. It's for your customer, and it should always be like that. And I guess this is another example of trusting your creatives and for them to also trust the creators, which is often not the creative department within an organization, within an ad agency at any rate. So I think it's important to understand that new value chain and new power play, you know, of creators who can actually make or break your brand within a few postings, I guess.
Spot on. You've got a 100%, Doc.
Let's just loop back a little bit. We talked about the demographic. The profile was 67% in the kind of under 25 or kind of space there of the users. But I'm not sure I made a note of a number. What is the quantum of people who are currently TikTok users in South Africa?
So Gordon, just going back, I mean, the SA Media Landscape kind of referenced it at 6 million. For a South African point of view, I think that's pretty much spot on. I think over and above just obviously the size of their population is also the consumption. From a global perspective, and again, that number will translate locally, we're seeing about 6 million users, but guys logging on average about 74 minutes spent in-app per day, which far exceeds any other social platform as well.
74 minutes on TikTok, Doc. Are you above or below that average?
Let me think about it, Gordon. I'll get back to you on that. Now, Greg, just let's talk a little bit about education for marketers out there. Let's change tack. So now you're a brand manager, you're a CMO, you're a creative house. You want to really get stuck into TikTok now. What is the best way to do it? I mean, again, you know, you guys are a sister company of ours. Just talk about, can you offer services? Can people contact you? How do they get a hold of you? And how would you guide them along that path, as Gordon said, not just your toe, but eventually your foot, and then making it part of your brand strategy?
100%. I think, yeah. So first and foremost, we've obviously aligned with TikTok. We obviously joined in as a partner. We're the first creator brand X partner for Africa. Meaning what we've done is we've actually gone ahead and onboarded the top 100 TikTok creators in South Africa. So the idea there is obviously working with whatever given brand, whatever campaign or campaign objective, we'll align with the local TikTok creator managers, identify the guys that best fit, and then through that, obviously strategize, build out a strategy. I think what's critical, again, like any other platform or any other kind of campaign or any take on anything new, the idea is to really run it as a proof of concept. So start small, test, learn, reiterate, and then scale it. But definitely to date, we've seen some incredible results across all verticals, all brands, driving multiple different objectives. So I think aligning with the right creators, getting that content created, we can almost ensure success.
Yeah.
And
Greg, I mean, one of the things we always try to encourage on our show, it's not just about Gordon and I chatting to a very interesting person, yourself being this week's very interesting guest. It's for listeners to get involved. So how would they get involved if they want to be part of this conversation, understand the 100 top influences, etc.? How do they, what's the best way to get hold of you?
Easiest is probably through LinkedIn. So it's Greg Bailey. Alternatively, they can jump onto webfluential.com, submit a request through that. That'll obviously be redirected, and then I'll get in contact with them personally and arrange some time.
Excellent.
Hey, Greg, that's important.
Yeah, two brands out there. You know, here's an obligation type thing. From our point of view, we're just merely trying to be a conduit to, you know, creatives, to a whole lot of interesting people out there. There's Greg. Get hold of him. Be part of the conversation. Sorry, Gordon, I interrupted you.
No, in fact, I was just going to comment on that. I mean, my mind resonates with anything which looks like we're talking about advertising as a holistic industry in which to work, which it used to be in the 70s and the 80s. And you know, Greg, if I was to do a word cloud, you know, of the terms you've used, I mean, the working alongside, working with creative and alongside and teamwork and joint creation of content is a theme which played through there. And I think that's something which is very refreshing with any media owner. And if I look at the media owners that are struggling right now, like radio, if I look at print, they've become so divorced from the creative process and so hardwired into trying to sell numbers, whether they're listeners, viewers, or readers into media agencies, that they've forgotten the primary way to create effective communication is to work side, you know, alongside the creative team with the messaging. So, I mean, I think that alone is a big invitation to me to rethink myself and rethink my reticence, and, you know, and to move off just the big numbers, which are the kind of questions I was asking, into, Greg, the space you were talking about. How do I get to work with you as a media person or a creative person? I think that for me is the refreshing tonality.
Yeah, 100%. You've got it spot on. You really do.
For me, I think bringing different media types together. And if you look, you use radio as an example, and one of the spin-offs of radio is podcasting. So quite a lot of radio stations these days, if I go onto their web presence, you know, I can download various podcasts, a lot of them for free, some of them paid for, etc. They've got social media feeds. So they've brought a whole lot of that stuff together. But I mean, absolutely, it's a question of continuously evolving, continuously staying abreast of development. And today it's TikTok, so it's bringing that into the mainstream. And you say, you know, if you look at the primary sort of younger target audience that Greg spoke about earlier, if you look at some of your primary targeted young, perhaps radio stations, is to marry those two types of media.
Yeah, and I've just actually come up now thinking about the platinums and the silvers, Doc. I think we're going to have to just rebrand this, because, you know, with people of my age, you have to say it twice. And we might just have to call it tick, tick, tock, tock, or tick, tock, tick, tock. One of the two. TikTok, one TikTok repetition. With that, I'm going to bow out and leave it to you sensible people. While I lock myself away from the whole pandemic nightmare, I'm so over it. But I guess we've got to take it seriously. To all of those out there who are struggling with it, for those of you who have had friends who have tested positive and or indeed lost, our thoughts are with you. There are a lot of people in the media industry right now that I'm aware of who are struggling with it. Guys, we're thinking of you and wish you well as you make your way through this whole pandemic. Guys, there's got to be a place at the end of it for all of us, and I look forward to meeting you there. Ciao.
Thanks, Gordon. Yeah. Greg, thanks for your time again. And again, you know, to all people out there, all listeners of ours, please be part of the conversation, as we always ask. Get hold of Greg at WebFluential. Get onto his LinkedIn. He spoke about that. Find out about TikTok. And as you know, take your brand to the next level. Greg, thanks very much for your time. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you around.
James, thanks so much. It was great fun. And yeah, always enjoy speaking to you.
Until next week, we'll catch you then.
And so that was another episode of The Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mateus. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have
some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
This podcast series has been made possible by The Salt, the influencer company that turns influence into affluence. In the same way that information is presented in this podcast in a relatable and authentic way, The Salt gets your customers to tell their real brand stories to their community. Go to thesalt.co.za to learn more about how The Salt can help you grow your business.